You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A New Zealand academic says Confucius Institutes in the country serve at the behest of China's Communist Party. China's international education programs, including its Confucius Institutes, which offer language and cultural classes, are under global scrutiny as part of the country's growing soft power influence. There are several Confucius Institutes and partnered schools in New Zealand, universities, polytechnics and high schools, all of which are funded and supplied by China. An investigation this year by US education group, the National Association of Scholars, called for all universities in the country to close their Confucius Institutes because of risks to intellectual freedom. But how does this stack up in New Zealand? Well, I spoke to Catherine Churchman, a lecturer in Asian Studies from Victoria University, which has its own Confucius Institute. And I began by asking her whether China really has influence over foreign universities through these programs.
They have a lot of influence over the institute itself. They pay for half of it usually, and they pay quite a lot of money. Because I know that they donate an awful lot of money to New Zealand universities. So Victoria got about $500,000 last year from the Chinese government. I just saw that figure. Now, they are controlled by Hanban, which is controlled by the Chinese Ministry of Education. But whether they don't really exercise direct control over what goes on inside the institute, but they do have some rules around what you're allowed to teach there. So you have to teach, for example, if you're going to teach any kind of Chinese, you have to teach Mandarin. You're not allowed to teach Cantonese or Hokkien or any of these other Chinese languages, and you have to teach in the simplified character set.
And what's the significance of
now,
that?
So in the 1950s, beginning in the 1950s, the Communist Party in China tried to simplify the way that the Chinese characters were constructed and write them with fewer strokes. They said it was out of promoting mass literacy. The original idea was actually to get rid of characters altogether and replace them with a romanized system of writing, but that eventually got scuppered and we got stuck with these simplified characters. Now, outside of China, so outside of the area that is controlled by the Communist Party, you have Taiwan and Hong Kong and Macau and Southeast Asia, where there are lots of Chinese communities as well. Right up until the 1980s in Southeast Asia, people just continued to use the traditional character set. But as countries with large Chinese populations, such as Malaysia, for example, Singapore, as they switched their allegiance to recognizing the People's Republic of China as the legitimate government of all China and had diplomatic relations, then they shifted as well. But generally what happened was outside China and in the US and even in New Zealand until relatively recently, all the newspapers and things that were written in Chinese by locals, they were written in the traditional character set, which the Taiwanese used. Now, many people can read both in China, but I think the level of literacy in the traditional character set is declining. The reason why it's important to be able to read traditional characters, and I guess this is what you were asking, is that there are things written, if you read Chinese and you can only read the simplified character set, then you can't really read stuff from Taiwan or Hong Kong. And many things from overseas Chinese newspapers and publications. Now, of course, people can just use software to switch them over a bit, but there are still books and information written about the history of the Communist Party and about internal affairs in China that are only written in that character set and were written outside China. And that's quite important because of the censorship that the Chinese Communist Party has over things written inside China.
Right.
It's so still it's quite important to be able to read those. Yeah?
So it's promoting a sort of semi-literacy that's in China's interests?
Well, that's what I argued, that the Confucius Institutes want to teach people to know things, but they don't want them to know too much. Once you start, imagine if you had 1,000 New Zealanders who were like not of Chinese background, who could read and write and speak fluently in Chinese, then they might actually cause more trouble in the local community, because they can look at things that are printed in China and point out where they're inaccurate. And
the US seems particularly concerned about CIs because, you know, we've had a lot of reports come out this year and media coverage. There's been groups calling for all CIs in the States to be shut down because they suppress academic freedom. And there's talk of, you know, them constituting foreign interference in the country's education system. Yep, I mean, do you think this is really the extent of how much influence they carry, or is this perhaps overblown?
Well, I don't know about exactly what is happening in the U.S. As far as New Zealand is concerned, I think it is overblown, because they don't, even though they are inside universities and give funding to universities, they're kept very separate from the Chinese teaching programs. So they don't, you don't actually get teachers from the Confucius Institute coming in and teaching Chinese to the undergrads. So one of the things, I think the problem will come, and what people are worried about, is that universities love to save money. And the best way to save money is to not have to pay for your lecturers. You only have to pay for half a lecturer or half a teaching assistant or something like that. And that's very appealing for a university that wants to save money. They can get these people to teach Chinese and teach Chinese history and teach Chinese culture and so on for half the price.
So if this were to extend further than, you know, the amount...
at the moment.
Yeah.
Then there's a problem. But I can't see that happening at the moment, but it's something to look out for. Usually when you're going to hear about these things, then the decision's already been made. But it did happen in Newcastle University, where they ended up just farming up the Chinese language courses to the Confucius Institute. So I don't know whether they have Chinese lecturers there anymore.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.